You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, good evening, good evening. Again, this is Rafael Skeet at CRS Radio with sports, chat, and more. I'm here today, man. We're going to have a great show for you today. We're going to have Shane Gadsden. Shane Gadsden is actually a former basketball player, professional basketball player. Not just that, he's actually great. I've watched him personally work one-on-one with some kids, man, and by looking at him, I'm impressed. I wanted to play basketball now since watching him work with these kids, man. So we're going to have Shane. We're going to have a college baseball player, Ty Washington from the Mississippi Valley baseball team. Not feeling too well. He's a little bit under the weather tonight. We're going to see if we can get as much as possible out of him until he kicks in, and if he can give us 15 minutes, we're good. If not, at least, you know, we'll see if we can have a conversation with him, see how, you know, he's doing this year in the college scene, baseball. We got a little bit of basketball, a little bit of baseball going, and eventually we're going to actually talk about a little bit about the health, you know, the mental health issue with athletes. I think a lot of times we're used to having just people who are not athletes have this issues, and then, you know, now not just athletes, we have, you know, I'm talking educators, everybody you can think about have this issue. So that's something we're going to have a little talk with. We're going to have Rhoda Arundel have a conversation later on this in the show, in the program. But in about 5 minutes, we'll be waiting for my co-host to walk right in and get started. So we're gonna have a good show today. It's probably about 8:15, maybe 8:05. We'll have I think we just got a text from the dad of Ty Richardson, Ryan Washington. Ryan Washington will be coming in to see us. We're gonna talk with him at least a couple of minutes. Let you guys know what the fatherhood of being a college player is like. Knowing Ryan, man, Ryan is one of the. I don't think I've met. Again, they could be out there, but I haven't met a dad like Ryan. Because every time I have a conversation with Ryan, he's in a different state watching his son play, man. I mean, he had the opportunity to do that. So every time I talk to him, he's there. He's doing something, watching his son. Hey, I'm away, you know, to watch him play. And so he's a supportive dad, always supportive of his son. I met Ryan, probably about 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago in Birmingham, Alabama. He called me before he got to Birmingham, Alabama, because I was taking a team, a baseball team. I think it was a 16U team or 15U team to Birmingham, Alabama. And this gentleman called me, and he wanted to see if I had room for his son to play with my team. And, you know, I shoot him straight between the eye and tell him, listen, I have a catcher, and his son's a catcher, but I'll find some room for him. And ever since that day, man, Ryan and I became very good friends. We actually had a tournament that we actually created in the island of St. Martin for like 3 years. And he was a big part of that, helping us, you know, get St. Martin, put that energy back into St. Martin baseball. And again, the reason why we did this, because when we first went to Birmingham, I actually met a gentleman who was spearheaded. It's called the Piper Davis Baseball Organization, and they did it from scratch and trying to get stuff done. And they asked me to join the Piper Davis Baseball Academy, and I joined them. And the first thing I told them, I said, "Listen, man, I want to take this to St. Martin. I know this is the U.S. And I know, you know, this is where you are, but help me get baseball back in St. Martin, because baseball is what got me in St. Martin, is what got me to the place I'm at today. What I did is when I started to play baseball in St. Martin, baseball was like one of the major sports on the island. You know, they had soccer, they had cricket, what we call football in the island. You guys call it soccer in the U.S. and we played football, volleyball, basketball. We played any sport you could think about. And when baseball was played on the weekends, it was a standing room only. So we know that, you know, people love the game of baseball. And because of the guys I played with, because of the guys that I played against, you know, they raised my ability to play in a high level of baseball. And it gave me the opportunity to sign professionally with the Baltimore Orioles organization. And I didn't want to just walk away from St. Martin and say, you know what, hey, you know, I'm here to, you know, to heck with what you do. But I didn't do that. I wanted to go back to St. Martin and introduce myself and introduce what I know in the island. And what happened is that baseball for a while had stopped playing. They just stopped playing baseball for about almost 10 years. And so when myself and Ryan and Mr. Plump, D. Dixon, Nate Oliver, Tom McGraw, we went down to St. Martin and tried to reboot St. Martin baseball back. And, you know, for 3 years, we tried to make it happen. And what happened is that now, if you go to St. Martin now, I think in the last 3 years, this is probably the third year or fourth year that St. Martin now have baseball. So it's back doing well. They had some international tournaments that they played year before last year. And this year they're going to have it again mid-November. And we are going to have – we're going to take a team down to St. Martin to play in the tournament in St. Martin in November. So we also going to have Omar Williams going to be coming on next week and talk about the St. Martin baseball, the life of it, where it's at, where it's going to be. We're going to have him come on and have a conversation with us. Omar Williams is one of the young cats that left St. Martin, went to college, and went back to St. Martin and tried to make it happen. So we're going to make sure that we actually have all aspect of the game, baseball, basketball, football, which is soccer. Well, we try to do everything we can to promote the sport of baseball back on the island and any sports at all. So if you guys are interested in having a conversation, we have a couple of people listening to the radio station right now. Give us a call at 667-467-2407. That's 667-467-2407. And we will actually have that conversation with you. So we're sitting here. I'm sitting here right now having a conversation about the history of why and how this whole – actually how this radio station started. They already had CRS Radio. It's a Caribbean radio show that actually is an internet radio where people – you can be anywhere in the world and listen to the radio show. And I was interviewed by Andrew Dixon, and – after the interview, he asked me to be a co-host with him. And after that, things start changing. And here I am today being the host of the host of the radio show. So this is something that I always like to talk about the way things started and where it ends up. Because you have to start somewhere. And that's why when we talk about Caribbean sports or world sports, we want to make sure that everybody have an intake. This platform is not just a platform for the professional athletes. You know, we do have a lot of professional athletes come on and talk, but the mom and pop who have something going on in their community with sports, that's what we're here for. We're that platform. We want to talk about what you want to do. We want to promote what you do. We reach out to people. On the other hand, that have stuff going and have done stuff in their career professionally, but we're not just that platform. We open up platform for everybody. Like I said, we when we say sports and more, it doesn't necessarily have to be part of sports. You can actually be part of anything, and we actually invite you to be part of our show. So you know, just feel free to come on in, say what you have to say, have a conversation with us. We want to make sure that what we say and what we do is what we feel, and what you say, what you do, if you stand behind what you say, what you do, that's what it is. We're going to have, by 8:30, we're going to have Shane Gadsden going to give us a call. I know Shane Gadsden, but he's going to actually let you guys know who Shane Gadsden is, all about Shane Gadsden, what he's doing in the community and what he's doing for himself. We're waiting for Ty Washington to come on. And then we're going to have his dad call, and his dad is going to come on and have a little talk before Ty comes on to see what's going on. So we're making sure that everything is on the up and up. We have a great program for you today. We're going to try to get everybody in place and try to give everybody in the time to have a conversation. Again, next week, we're going to have Omar Williams from St. Martin Pelican Baseball Association. I know he's going to be excited to talk about what they're going to be doing this year. They usually start, I know last year they started a little bit before the carnival and stopped the games and then start after carnival. But it seemed like this year they're just going to start after carnival, which I think probably is a good thing. And in St. Martin, the Caribbean, you got to have carnival in the same. I grew up in carnival, and you know that's what I think. If I'm not mistaken, I think carnival in St. Martin is, I want to say March, no April, and finish in May. So I think that's something that's one of the big events that St. Martin has at all times. So we're gonna make sure that we keep you up to date with what's going on. If we're gonna talk to Omar next week, but every week that we talk, we get on our program, we're going to make sure that you guys know what's going on with the baseball. We're going to even give you scores, highlight. We're going to try to actually even have some of the players on our show on Mondays to talk about what's coming up or what they have done, the game prior. We're going to try to promote them as much as we can. We were trying also to get a little bit netball. They have netball. You know, that's a Caribbean thing. Get netball. Try to get some information on what's going on with the netball community. We're going to make sure that we give everybody an opportunity to be heard. So there's no one way of, okay, you're not promoting us. We're not telling anything about us. We're going to try to get everybody involved. We're going to make sure everybody take part in what's going on in the sports world, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, no matter what it is. We will looking at last week we had on Sunday we had the NCAA men and women, and those are some great games. So we're going to try to talk a little bit about that. But what I want to do a little bit is have a conversation with Ryan about, the fatherhood of a college athlete, and then we bring Ty in a little bit later to have a conversation with him. So that's what we're going to end up doing. Hey, good evening. How you doing? How you doing, Ryan?
What's up, my man? How y'all doing?
Hey, not too bad, man. I was talking a little bit about – I was trying to give you – I was giving you some props, man. I was telling that I haven't been around a lot of college dads and stuff like that, but I was telling that you're so supportive of your son, man. Every time I have a conversation with you, you are on the road going to support his game. You know? So, and also how we met 3-4 years ago, and how we met, we've maintained that friendship, and not just that, we actually went to St. Martin and tried to put some life back into baseball for St. Martin. So, tell us what's going on with you, man. How are you doing?
Man, we're good. So yeah, we're out here on the road, being the wishes, misses, and it's a tiring process. But man, you know, Ty's on his last year of collegiate ball, so we're trying to eat it up as much as we can, just in case if this is the last step for him, then we've got all we can get in, you know. But to correct you, it's been over 6 years ago now that you and I met.
Piper
Davey, yeah, that's how time flies, bro.
Wow,
yeah,
right.
Long time, man.
Man.
We haven't been on the island for 3 years, Keith.
You are right. You are right. I think that's what the confusion part was with me. When I said 3-4 years ago, I was thinking that. But, man, it's been a while, because I remember when we met, it was a phone call that you gave me and told me, hey, you know, I got my son, and I think it was a 14-U team, right? Oh. Was it a 14?
No. It was 18-U, but Ty was back then was a junior in high school.
Got you. And yep. ever since then, man, we maintain our friendship.
That's
and we maintain communication. And it was because I think one of the things is we both being real with each other. You know, I let you know where everything stand, and we went from there. And that's good. I was trying to get Ty on as well, but I told him he's a little under the weather. So whatever we can get out of him, we're glad to get out of him, just so he can give us a little bit of what he's going through, what he's doing, and how you feel about the college life. Because 2 weeks ago we had Florida State University, the dad, Ross, and then we had the son, he played for outfield for the Florida State Seminoles. And so, you know, he's one top prospect on the market right now, too. So I had a conversation with him, and I decided, you know, it's good to have a conversation with Ty as well, you know, just to see how he's doing and how everything is going with him. So that's about it.
Yeah. And he's a little under weather, but I just got off the phone with him a minute ago. He's like, man, I'll try to get through it. If it gets to where it's hurting me, Dad, I'll let Skeet know.
I got you. Yeah. Well, when you come on, man, so tell me about you, man. I mean, this is sports and more. So what is Ryan professional? What does Ryan do? What business have you got going on? Talk to everybody, let everybody know, man.
So for me, man, we're based out of Adkins, Texas, which is Southeast San Antonio, basically. I run a construction/land service company, and basically it's not landscaping, but land services. We do a lot of dozing and skid steer work and dozing work, but 95% of my work is concrete. So we foundation, driveway, sidewalks, patios, retaining walls, curbs, anything to do with concrete. That's my daily. Other than that, man, I rodeo. I've been rodeoing, as you know, my whole life. So even though it's not a mainstream sport in Texas, it is, you know. So rodeoing's been a big part of my life, and being able to compete in rodeo, and that's kind of my thing on my downtime when I'm not chasing this boy with baseball.
Well, let me ask you this. When the last time you went in a rodeo event? Because it's been a while that I've seen you post anything about the event of rodeo.
Yeah, it slowed down because, you know, quite frankly, the season starts right about the time baseball starts. But now rodeoing runs, you know, from middle February all the way to the end of the year for us in Texas. I end up missing the first half of the season because I'm out on the road, you know, chasing baseball. And it's been like that for the last 4 years because we've never missed one of his collegiate games. We've been to all of the series and all of the games since he's been playing up here in Mississippi. And it just takes a lot out of us, right? You know, you can't do it all. You just can't. And so we do baseball till the end of May. And then I'll get my horses kind of legged up and in shape, and then I'll start competing myself. And then we try to get to Vegas and compete in Vegas in the World Series of Team Roping as much as we can. And it's kind of that World Series of Team Roping is essentially the Super Bowl of Team Roping, the Super Bowl of rodeoing kind of in a way. And it pays out some really big payouts. So myself, the whole family, will get out and go
to Vegas and have a good time in Vegas for a couple of weeks and compete and try to bring some money home to Texas and do it all again the following year. You know, after this season of baseball, I'll get to rodeo all I want. You know, rodeo don't be there no matter what. I even tell Ty and all these other kids that want to rodeo, enjoy your life because rodeos will always be there. So I make sure I spend the time needed, you know, with my son and his career. So when things do come to an end, I can say I got my fulfillment in, and then I can always go back to rodeo. And my horses are still there. My talent's still there. I just gotta get this baseball stuff in as long as I can.
I got you. Hey, Ryan, give me a minute. Hold on 1 second. Let me get intro. I think I got Ty on the other end, but give me a second right now.
Yeah, for sure.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Great. Ty, how you doing, man? Hello?
I'm here.
No, it's Ty. I think this is Ty online. It's Ty, how you doing? Ty was 718?
No, Ty's got a 394.
Oh, that's somebody's. That's probably someone that's listening in. Okay, that's fine. I thought that was Ty that's calling in. But yeah, but a little birdie told me, Ryan, a little birdie told me that you're in the blues now. You're a blues man now.
Man, so get this. Yeah, I totally left that out because it's kind of, it's really that new to me, right? So, let's see. Hold on real quick, Keith. Hold tight.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna make sure that
we just got to Ty's apartment. We stopped and got him some meds and stuff so he can try to get well before Wednesday's game. But
I got you.
Yeah, man. So like 2.5-3 years ago, I started chasing. Well, I've wanted to play the blues my whole life. I've listened to the blues since I was a baby, but. I started chasing it and really wanting to try to learn how to play, man. And I ran across a really, really beautiful person that was actually a customer of mine for concrete work by the name of Jeff Martin. And this cat is he's originally out of the Baytown, Beaumont area, Louisiana. But when I say a awesome, decorated musician, this guy is like the real deal. And he's like, man, sure, I'd love to teach you to play blues. Well, that turned into a friendship and me getting lessons once, sometimes twice a week. And then it got kind of fizzled out because he was dealing with some health issues and I just didn't get the time that I wanted to spend with him because of him and his personal stuff. And I respected that. Right. So then I ran into another cat. You can look all these guys up, but this cat's name is Charlie Cruz. They call him Cool Cat Charlie. And him and I kicked it off and became really good friends. He's taught me a lot. And you know, like Charlie goes over to Europe, like he's in Europe right now touring. But he's taught me a lot. Then I run into what's called cotton patch blues and some what's called hill country blues. And all this stuff is right here just north of the Delta in Mississippi. So I thought, well, what better way to learn this stuff than to get amongst these people that are playing the blues and where the blues originated, which is right here in Mississippi, right, where music really originated. And so I started leaking out to some of these people and reaching out and been getting lessons lately the last 3 months from Robert Kimbrough, which is Junior, the youngest son of Junior Kimbrough, which was a legend. And yeah, man, the Juke Joint Festival. It's here in Clarksdale every year. Just happened this past weekend, and I was blessed to play with Robert on a couple of his gigs during the festival. And yeah, that's. I'm just chasing it, man. I don't know which way it's going to take me, but I
man,
really enjoy playing it and enjoy singing it.
It's funny, but just listening to you, I can hear the joy in your voice that you enjoy doing it. So that's a good thing. I can hear it, man. I was like, man, the little birdie told me that, but when you start talking about it, man, I said, man, this is what he loved right now is spare time. So that's an awesome thing, man. At least you get a chance to rub elbows with some of the greats' kids or the greats themselves.
Yeah, and it's all right. It just happens that Ty goes to school up here amongst all this stuff, right? So I might have to drive, like, for the festival this past weekend, I drive 45 minutes north of Ty, and I'm in Clarksdale, or I'll go to Holly Springs, and that's where a lot of them guys, which is just south of Memphis, and there's blues all around this area. So it's been really convenient for me, especially being from Texas, you know?
That's awesome. It's good. It's good to see this. And just, you know, we got 5 more minutes with you, man. If Ty doesn't get a chance to come on, we're going to plan another session, another program, so we have him on. But I want to make sure that we still have a conversation, because at the end of the bottom of the hour, I'm going to have Mr. Shane Gatson. Looking forward to have a conversation with him. Looking forward for him to tell us a little bit about who he is and what he's got going on. Again, it's a pleasure just even watching this gentleman. And Ryan, this gentleman, man, you watch him work with his kids, man. It's intense. You know, it's intense. And I'm a baseball guy, but like I said, when I watch him with the kids, the basketball kids, it's like, man, it's like, oh, this is what it should be like. You know, if I was a basketball coach,
it has a purpose.
Instead of trying to get Ty on, I'm just going to pass him my phone and y'all can go at it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Let's do that. We got about another 4 minutes to go, man. So we'll go from there.
Okay. All right, here it is.
We're going to have Ty Washington, catcher for the Mississippi Valley D1 baseball. Ty, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
Nothing much. Just relaxing for the weekend.
No, I know you're on the weekend, man. Just tell the folks a little bit about Ty Washington and what he's up to right now. You know, we got about 3 minutes, so just give me about 3 minutes, quick minutes of Ty. Tell me about your what you're doing, how your season's going right now, and what you're looking forward to.
For right now, season-wise, we're not doing too well. Not in the position that we want to be in. For myself, I'm just trying to stay healthy and keep playing good baseball the way I've been playing. Hitting and catching, I've been excelling really well, especially with the stick. I think I'm swinging 341 right now for an average with 92 at-bats. So definitely just trying to stay consistent in the lineup and doing my job wherever I'm placed to either drive in runs or help my field on the field defensively wise.
Awesome. Well, what position are you hitting? Where are you hitting the lineup?
I've been in the four hole, but these past couple of games I've been sitting three hole.
Sounds good. But 3-4 is 3-5. That's a big boy. That's a big boy slot. So that's good. That's good that they got you in those. But that means you're seeing the ball well and you're hitting the ball well. And how catching? How's that going? How are you handling the pitches?
Oh, really well. I mean, I'm with them every single day, either with bullpens or catching flat grounds and just playing catch with whoever needs it at the time. So our chemistry gets along really, really well, and that helps relate to the field.
Communication is right. The key. Hey, let me tell you something. Just stay focused, man, and remember. Every day is not tie day. You may have a 0-for-3 day or 1-for-4 day. That doesn't mean that tomorrow it's going to be the same. Just keep your heads up, keep swinging the same. Because sometimes you hit the ball hard right at people, and then you start hitting a little flare at base hits. So don't change what you're doing because of hitting the ball hard to people, man. Because a lot of hitters, they get carried away because they hit the ball hard right at play at positions. And they just start changing how they hit and how they swing. Don't do that. Just stay focused. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And we'll definitely talk some more. I'll get you on again another time when your throats feel better. So tell your dad, I said, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you later, man. Have a beautiful day. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you. Now, we just had a conversation with Ty Washington. Ty Washington is a catcher for the Mississippi Valley baseball team. His dad, Ryan Washington, very supportive father, man, is everywhere Ty is at. Our next segment, we have another great athlete, former athlete, but actually a great, great coach. I watched him coaching kids and getting them ready to play the game. So I'm going to get him in. Mr. Shane, how are you today?
Keith, how's it going, sir?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm glad to have you on, man. I, like I said, I've seen you work with the young man, man, and the way you work with the young man in basketball is the same approach I do with the young man in baseball. But it's flattering just watching you work with these kids, and And I know you're New York born, Jamaica, Queen, New York. You grew up there. But just you tell us a little bit about you and then what you got going on. So the way is yours right now. Tell us a little bit about Shane Gaston.
You got it, man. Thank you, man. It's an honor to be on. I appreciate the invite, and the respect is as mutual, man. Myself, Shane Gaston, I'm a journeyman, man. I thrive out of New York City, Jamaica, Queens, to be exact. More so a late bloomer when it comes to basketball and organized basketball. And I decided to take my show on the road. I figured it would be best for me to kind of get out of the poverty that we were living in and the environment we were living in and stay focused on a passion I had that was passed to me from my father, Wayne Gaston, God bless the dead, who was very, very pivotal in my basketball career and was also as important to New York tradition and New York history when it comes to basketball. And here I am today, played 18 years professionally, traveled abroad, had a few NBA stints with Dallas Mavericks, Golden State, and here we are today, man, just trying to make my passion and dream fully come true at the end of the tunnel.
I'm gonna ask you this, Shane. When was that time, like that year, that age where you say, you know what, I can do this. I can make this a professional career.
You know, I really wasn't thinking that my whole career, to be honest. There was a part where I did start to think that way. As far as, all right, let me make this into a career because really I have nothing left. And this is one of my talents that I was very, very passionate about. There are other things that I have a lot of interest in, just as much the same and passionate about. But basketball was kind of like a gift given from my father, man. I was very talented in it, but I just had a lot of things going on in my personal life that just kind of just didn't allow me to lock in on basketball and look at it as a way to take it seriously as a career until it just became nothing left, right? Left college, Oklahoma State is where I went to and graduated from with a degree. And after that, you know, I had nothing left. You know, I had spoke to one of my head coaches who kind of didn't give me the best advice upon leaving Oklahoma State. And I made some immature mistakes at Oklahoma State that kind of put me behind the eight ball that I don't regret because now I'm able to guide young players on that. But for me, it wasn't really something that clicked until, you know, when you hit rock bottom and you realize, all right, I got to figure this out and I got to figure it out quick. And so I was in New York kind of living with one of my lady friends at the time, and we were struggling together trying to make ends meet. And when you're in those situations, you kind of dig deep into who you are as a person. And I felt, and I at that time, I said, okay, I got nothing left, and I got to figure this out. So basketball became my safe haven, became my therapy, as it always was. It's just I got more serious with it, and I dived into the things that surrounded basketball, such as listening to other people that could guide me more so, right, allowing people to help me in the business aspect of the basketball piece, in which I wasn't as knowledgeable of at the time coming up in New York City. I was just playing off pure talent, and nobody was really guiding me, or vice versa. I wasn't seeking the advice that was given or heeding the advice that was given, sorry. So here I am today, man, just a fully driven guy and still in the sport of basketball. Basketball has been very good to me. It's one thing I'll say to guys and young players, man, you treat the game well, the game's going to treat you well. I kind of learned that late. So, like I said, I have no regrets upon everything that's happened because I'm in the business of development, basketball development it is, and now I'm able to kind of give the experience and the lessons to these younger guys coming up that wants to fulfill their dreams.
And you're right about that because I tell some of my kids, too, that the lessons that I'm teaching them, I learned this lesson as an adult, and I'm trying to give it to them in the youthful age, you know. But let me ask you this. I sit and I watch you work with the young kids. I know you have some guys that you could say, you know, these guys got it, and some guys, you know, you got to put some extra work in. And baseball is, to me, in my end, baseball – you know, the talent pool, sometimes you don't see it until a little later on. How can you see a little bit of the talent pool that you have working with? Because I've seen these kids give you 100% every time. You know, you don't play, you know, and I see that. So what is that some of the kids that you see and you say, you know what, this kid could be in a college D1, college D2 environment?
Well, the majority of the guys you kind of see is guys that's kind of in the 9th, 10th grade. Outside of that, I work with a lot of pros that's mostly overseas or in the NBA. And then I have a lot of guys that now about to return and come back. And that's a little bit more elite, and you'll get to see them too. But the guys I do work with currently, you know, I'm able to identify, you know, potentially, one, their position, where they'll wind up at, even though they're young right now, and they probably, some of them are positionless, or some of them may have a position. But a lot of them just don't know where they may get their shots from, or how they run in the team, or if they're a big man, how to post up, or how to work within the offensive scheme of things from a coach. I'm able to identify with that quick, for one, I played 15-plus years, so experience tells me that. And secondly, you can kind of see it within the player by, you know, if they have their base set, right, or their hands right on their shot, or they locked and loaded, meaning their wrist snap ready to load, or they stand through their right shoulder and their shot if they're a right-handed player, or they sticking their middle finger in the rim, pushing it through the basket all the way through. So there's a lot of things that you could tell right away that they have to work on certain technicalities and details that I strengthen along the way. And I'll stop them midway through and kind of give them those details to point it out and help them. As far as understanding where their trajectory will be and how, you know, their ceiling, you know, that's up to them if they continue to work. What I could currently tell them and advise them on is where they are and kind of give them that medium up to where they're trying to be and let them know where they are at the moment, right? So that's kind of what I point out to them and give them some homework to look at and do and just follow these instructions that we're giving them in the gym so they could continually progress in their career. As far as, you know, I always kind of say a professional is someone who does the same thing consistently over and over again the same way. And they're no different than a pro. It's just that they're not able to lock in on doing things consistently, right? And that's where the training aspect on this level from a coach like myself is based around the details and the reminders, right? Some of them may take it as discipline when I hop on them, but that's what I kind of remind them of. I'm not disciplining you. This is information. Some of these, we as athletes, we're computers in our minds. So if that developer, such as yourself, such as myself, who give them information, and if they lock and load it into it, it'll become muscle memory. And that's all we're trying to do is create good habits right for them to potentially become a pro or a college player or an elite player on whatever level they're trying to get to.
Correct. If you guys are interested, you guys are listening to, and again, Shane, this is like worldwide. Everybody you can hear this station no matter where you're at in the world, man. It's EFDtalent.com. EFDtalent.com. You go log on to that, get in touch with Shane, have a conversation with him, let him know what, if you, you know, get some schedule out and get in touch with him. But we, you know, I appreciate just watching, because I said it's tense because I do the same thing on the baseball level. Like you said, that you know, I a lot of kids say, you know, parents will say, oh, he's practicing every day. I'm like, mom, dad, this kid can practice every day, all day, but it's not the practice. It's what he's practicing that makes him best. You know.
Like you could tell, like, so I get so funky with it to the point where I, as soon as they walk in, I'm observing, right? You could tell by sometimes, you know, the first thing they do when they walk in, right? So sometimes you, in a basketball world, a guy that gets on the court, goes straight to form shooting, that's a guy that knows his, that kind of is already knowing his why, or kind of knowing where his trajectory is, where he wants to get to, because he's starting from ground up. Now, a guy that's just coming, picking up the ball, starting from the three-point line shooting, and you can see, all right, from the jump, I'm already knowing, if, even if I'm evaluating right there, all right, he doesn't really understand what the regimen of training is. So like you just said, so if a guy just going to the park and he's just going to go play and he's just going to go shoot, what are you actually working on? So you could tell me or you could tell your mom and dad, yeah, I went to the park, but what exactly are you working on that's going to benefit you on the next level, whether that be college, high school, or pro? So guys like us that play pro on both levels, baseball and basketball, we're able to point out these things and observe these things and probably implement it to a program for them to put them on a regimen that'll help them forever, right? And so when a guy is looking for a developer or a trainer, specifically I can speak for basketball, make sure you're going for someone that's either knowledgeable of the game or has played the game, right? That's very important. And when you're going to work out in the park, you shouldn't just be going to play against players that don't have a commitment to the game or have a commitment to where they're trying to get to as a student athlete or a pro, because now you're going to pick up bad habits playing against these guys. And what we're trying to create, as we said earlier, is good habits. So that's why guys you and I is very good for the stuff like and what we do.
That is you're right about that, because it's funny when, you know, you go in different, you know, you'll see basketball players go and they do one thing, and when they get in the court against guys who know the game, they can't do what they've been doing on the blacktop. Because it's a different game.
Not at all.
Go ahead. I'm saying in baseball it's the same way. You may go up. The thing is, what I like about the different sports, basketball and football, parents sit back more and watch the coaches coach. In baseball, the parents think they know more than the coaches. So it's hard for us as coaches, baseball coaches, we got to work through the parents before we even work to the kids. Basketball, they sit back and watch coaches work. You know what I'm saying? Well, That's what I think.
Absolutely. I mean, in the AAU world, which I'm not too familiar with, which I won't say it's a circus, man, I won't, but it's very different from the time I played, man. You got guys nowadays in the AAU basketball circuit, especially parents, who are doing what you just said, and the coaches are getting very annoyed with it, where parents are now becoming coaches. But for one, let me backtrack. When it comes to I give advice. I don't tell parents what to do, but I'll give advice, and I'll strongly give advice and say your son is not ready or your daughter is not ready. Why throw them in the fire of AAU basketball when they haven't created, again, good habits? That's so important, because now you're putting them in position to not only be seen earlier, which is good for these guys and women. That's good. They get scouted earlier. They get more exposure earlier, but they're playing so many games. Right? When basketball, it should be about development until this stuff is on muscle memory, until it's effective in game, until this kid, this young man or woman knows exactly what they're doing in the game, what they're looking for. Why put them, I kind of parallel it and give an analogy such as this. If I had a son or a daughter and they're not able to drive by themselves yet, I'm going to be in the car with them first. And then when they are ready to drive by themselves, I'm going to make sure they're on a road that's lit it up, and if it's daytime, they're going to be on a road by themselves where no other cars are. And then when the more experienced they get, then I'll put them on the highway, right? And then I'll be able to have them merging on the highway. So that's how I look at it as basketball. You don't want to throw kids or young men and women into a fire, and now they're getting exposed, and these people that are looking at them giving them X's when they should be checks, right? X's meaning bad, and checks meaning good. And so I've always encouraged parents, you know, make sure your son or daughter is fully developed in the sport that they are playing before you throw them in the fire. And beyond that, man, if you look at the NBA today, the last few MVPs is coming from abroad, right? That'll make you think. So why is that happening? Because the kids abroad, in which I played abroad and I've got to see every level of the basketball world, they are developing the whole time. There ain't playing no 36 games, 56 games in the summer, from spring to summer. That ain't what they're doing. And that's why you see the Jokers of the world, the guy on Lucas of the world. These guys winning MVPs for the last few years, the MBs of the world. You don't see American guys winning anymore. And that goes to the development of the sport. That just goes straight to the developer.
You know what, Shane? I think a lot of times, like you just said, you let the parents know that they're not ready and you just slow them up and develop them. The percentage of from parents don't want to accept that reality.
I agree.
What you tell them.
because we
take them somewhere else. Because you were real with them, they prefer to take them somewhere else to give them the better development and then come back and say, you know, Shane, 2 years later, man, I should have listened to you. But it's too late now. You should listen to me then.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I've been
through
that.
Absolutely right. We in a society of monkey see, monkey do. We in a society of being influenced by social media. We in a society of young women dictating what happens in their household somewhat. I'm going to say all the time. But in sports, what happens because of their peers and what their peers are doing, but not looking at your son or daughter and where they are at. That's what matters, right? Stop comparing and stop putting yourself up against this next child. Oh, he may be at this level. She may be at – well, your son got to work to get to that level.
Correct.
I started in the 10th grade organized basketball. You understand what I'm saying? I started 10th grade playing organized basketball. I didn't play any organized basketball. I was playing street ball. That's how it was in New York coming up in my era, right? But in this era, it's monkey see, monkey do. That's it. Yep.
I have a travel ball baseball, right? And they actually search for name recognition in the game itself. they want to play in this tournament, that tournament, that tournament, but not knowing that we as leaders of the organization trying to give them step by step by step by step.
Yeah.
But this guy played that tournament. They're wearing the hats and the jerseys of that tournament, but they have no advancement because they play only a tournament and not the growth of the game.
Yep. Yeah. Couldn't agree more, sir. I tend to tell parents that all the time. I said, I'm your guy if your son or daughter's going to be committed. I'm your guy if you allow me to take it step by step, page by page. I'm not skipping no chapters. So you can't come back and say, well, we was trained by EFD. No, I'm going to make sure we're trained the correct way. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Keith.
And it's weird when you look back at when they come back to you like 2-3 years later and you're like, he threw 2-3 years. I've worked with kids where I play them, like say for instance, they were on my team 2 years ago and I played them this year, they have not changed. Their development stayed the same 2 years ago. And it's almost sad when you look at these kids and go, wow, I just got a bunch of new kids and still beating those kids at their position when I don't think it should have been that way. It should have been where those kids should have been more way advanced. And I know it's in all sports. It's in all sports. But, you know, I'm telling you, in basketball and football, it's not as prevalent as it is in baseball. Baseball could be a headache. You know, I love the game. I'm not going to leave the game because I love doing it. But it's become a headache when parents don't understand that take baby steps to get to that big, giant wall.
I'm gonna share a story with you, sir, and I'm not gonna mention any names. But I used to work at a facility here in Buford a few years back, in Buford, Georgia, and there was a young stud who played Division I basketball down. I seen his skill set early. He was a little bit undersized for his position, but I'm gonna make it short. We was training for about 6 months, 7 months straight, almost going on maybe a year at this point. So I think that, you know, me and the parent had a good enough trust in each other to understand I'm here for the betterment of your son. But one thing I tend to try to be delicate with and walk a fine line with is being a developer only, but I don't want to ever step on parents' toes, but I will advise along the way, as I said. So there was one thing I said, and I mentioned maybe it'll be best if this young man starts to come in by himself. We're at a year now. I can tell he's looking over his shoulder every few seconds. He's looking over his shoulder every few minutes. He's telling me certain things along the way, which I'm not saying this all the way, but it's, I'm finding a way to mention it to her. And you know what that calls? That calls for this particular person to start to look at me differently. And all I was doing was letting this particular person know when he gets to college, he has to be a man on his own. Right. He's going to get it from these coaches. And let me tell you what happened, sir. I'm not going to mention the school's name or the people's names, but I got a phone call, and it was asking me, why is this young man like this? We see the skill, but why is he like this? I didn't go into detail and explain this, but it went hand in hand with what I was trying to say. So guys like yourself and myself that have experience in understanding the full development, because sometimes it ain't just the actual hitting the ball or the bat hitting the base. It's sometimes just not that. No,
right.
It's a full spectrum of development. And so, yeah, man, to go to your point, sometimes parents have to take full trust in the developer they choose or the coach they choose to develop and train their athlete and believe in that, because it's a full-time investment. And this full investment, we don't have a magic wand, but we can almost guarantee you it'll pay off if he puts in the work or she puts in the work. They will find results.
And, Shane, this investment is not cheap. It's expensive.
It's expensive. It should be year-round.
I use this all the time.
Kobe Bryant was one of my favorite, not only mentors from a – not personally, but just he was a mentor in a way of his mentality. And so I use the example all the time. And I say, if you look at the way his mentality was and how he was winning championships and why he was winning championships, it's because, yes, his means of financial was secure. We understand that. We understand that fully. But if we can provide for our young men and women to be invested in, let's do so. So his means of financial was secure. So the young Kobe Bryant was working out three times a day, even after winning championships.
Yeah.
So there is no days off. There is no time off from this investment of trying to better your kid, because it will pay off.
That's true. And speaking about practicing all day, I had an opportunity, blessed enough to have a teammate of Cal Ripken Jr. And this guy was, you couldn't take him out of the line. He's a superstar. But every day he would take 5 to 6 full buckets of ground balls. Every day. Mm-hmm. If he is doing this, like Kobe is doing 3 times a day and winning championships, why are we sitting on our butts and watching this guy do it? Why can't we say, you know what, that's the success point. Let's see if we can touch that.
Right, right. That should be our aspiring, motivating factor right there, right? Let's see if we could get to that space too. That's beautiful.
But you know what?
Beautiful.
Like you said earlier, we are a social media. We're suckered by social media. And these kids are living their life in the social media now. They may have a dunk, and it's on Facebook, but that's just one dunk that they had. There's nothing else they had behind the dunk.
Yeah.
Kid may hit a home run. Yeah. Social media. That's it. You know.
Yeah.
The other part of the game is not. It's not there.
Right. The many facets of the game is not shown and exposed. Right. Because guys don't either want to be embarrassed, they don't want to go fully out. Like when it comes to basketball on the defensive side, you don't see guys picking up 94 feet. And what that means is defending the guy as soon as he gets it inbounds from that end of the court to the other end of the court, because they don't want to be exposed on social media nowadays. They just want to see highlights. They just want the highlight reel. That's not the full game. Yeah.
That's correct.
That's not life. These sports translate to life, right? So it's so beautiful when you get a young man or woman that are fully locked in on both sides of the sport, the defensive side and the offensive side, and want to get better on both sides of the spectrum.
And it's really crazy, because when you look back, and sometimes you look back on, you could do one or two things when you look back. You look back and you say, wow, I'm glad that guy listened to me. That's that young man listened. And then they look back at the next point and say, wow, why didn't he listen? You get the spectrum of both sides, you know, and like sometimes you end up, you know, some guys have that talent, but they never follow their talent. And some guys, you may say, may not have all that talent, but they get to the level they want to go because they put the work in. And then you can have all the talent. If you don't work, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, man. And I couldn't agree more with what you just said. And a pure developer, a pure coach, one that really cares for you, and if you do decide that's particular player that didn't kind of understand the message you were sending, and then they turn around and come back, you should – a pure developer or a pure coach will open them with open arms. If you really, really want to see this young man succeed, right? And you shouldn't get caught in your emotions of it because we all learn at our own pace, right? But as long as you was able – well, that developer was able to recognize it, that's all that matters. But just be open to the fact that that young man or woman just probably didn't see it at that time. We probably all had coaches, I can speak for myself, where in the beginning I didn't understand the message. I look back years later, it was like, Dad, he was right, right? So, you know, just always being available for young men or
that
women
old factor
is so important.
That's what he meant. But that was like, you know, 10 years later. But that's why I tell the kid, like you said, the things that we as and I like what you use when you said, I always say coach or trainer, but I like your words better. I think I'm gonna steal that from you, Shane. But I like the fact when you let the kids know that you have the things that we learn as an adult. You know, I learned plays, I learned different way to approach the game as an adult, and we're trying to get that as a kid. I mean, accept that because we're trying to give you that path where we never knew. We never knew that path. We got old.
Couldn't say it better. And they're so fortunate, and they may not know our full stories, and that's okay. But they're so fortunate to have guys like us, right, in their corner to help them develop. Because, like you said, what we have now is a full toolbox of information. So take it. Take it all. We can't go nowhere with it. Take it all.
I never had a professional coach in my whole life until I signed with the Baltimore Orioles. That's the first professional coach I've had. These guys are having professional coach at 10 years old, 11 years old.
And that's why our sports are becoming more skilled, but they're lacking the grit. They're lacking the hunger, right? They're lacking that piece that we had. We came up trying to get it. We didn't have guys showing us the skill set. That's why they're so much more skilled. And that's why in basketball specifically, the game has changed, right? It's just become a soft touching game where it's just skill. That's cool. If we get intertwined in two, it'll be a fabulous basketball game.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a microwave world now. Everybody want to do it the fast way.
Everybody.
They want to accolade, but they don't want to put the work. You know, if you want to accolade, put the work in to get it. You know, they don't come that easy.
Yeah, and I ain't trying to hear it. Me as a coach personally, I'm going to tell you, man, stop talking to me, man. I'm not trying to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear it. Just do it. Just do it like Nike says. Just do it, man. I don't want to hear it. You know, a lot of guys can talk, but a lot of guys don't back it up with action. Action is what creates results.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely true. Yep. Man, I love – we got to do this again another time, Shane, I love this. This is a good conversation. You got to come back on again. You can't. Don't say no to me because I'm gonna beg you to come back on.
No, man, it was an honor to be on. It was an honor to be on. I truly appreciate it allowing me to be on this platform just to express some passion we both share. You know, good coaches recognize good coaches, man. So I truly thank you, and I'll always be able to be here.
Right, and I enjoy watching you coach those kids, man. It's a pleasure to just even have you on the show, on the CRS Radio Sports Chat. Definitely, I want to see have you back on again. It's a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much, man. And everything you said again, I want to let people know. Give them your website again, Shane, please.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. www.efdtalent.com. EFDTALENT.com. My number, which is my business number, I have no problem telling you guys, is 718-219-5579. My Instagram handle is my name, Chene, last name Gadson. I am a journeyman, and I am respected in the NBA world, and I am a pro developer on the way.
Sounds good, man. I love that. Again, 718-219-5579. That's 718-219-5579. Shane, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you. And I would love to do this again with you soon, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, coach.
All right, thank you. That was Shane Gadson, man. Shane Gadson is a innovate. I mean, he actually does. It's fun when you get around great coaching. You say the same things, but it's different sports. You know, and that's one of the things that I sat. You know, we work out out of the same gym. I do baseball and basketball. And I get there early sometimes, prepare my kid, and I just sit and watch him work with his guys, man. It's like, it's no laughing matter. It's no lallygag. If you come there for 30 minutes or an hour, you're getting 30 minutes an hour. So I'm telling you, folks, if you actually want to have a conversation with Shane, you want to have them work with your son in basketball, again, call him, 718-219-5579. He would love to get your call, and we go from there, man. It's a beautiful conversation. Again, thanks to Shane for being on the CRS Radio, Sports Chat, and more. It's a beautiful time. Well, we're actually waiting to have a conversation with Ms. Aaron, though. She's our special guest that always comes in, and we talk. So today we're going to have a conversation a little bit about the mental health in sports and in education. So we're going to have a little conversation with her, welcome her in, and we'll go from there. Meanwhile, if you guys want to have a conversation when she comes in, 661-467-2407 is our number. That's 661-467-2407. Give us a call. We'll gladly have conversation with you on the matter.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with Sports, Chat, and More.
Again, welcome in Sports Chat and More, CRS Radio. Before we start talking to Ms. Rhoda Arendelle, I want to let you guys know that don't forget about the 2004 primary school shoe drive at Jamaica. It began already. Go to crsradio.com and follow and look for the shoe drive. We're trying to help the young kids and giving them whatever you can. Even if you don't have shoe, man, if you have a hat, send a hat. But we do a shoe drive, but just send whatever you have. They would love to have it in Jamaica. It already started. Go to crs.com, and we can go from there. Welcome in, Ms. Rhoda Arendelle. How are you tonight?
Good evening to you. Good evening to your listeners. The voice is not 100% today yet, but I hope it suffices for our conversation this evening. So again, thanks for this opportunity to share with you and your listeners. I've been trying to follow you guys, you know, see what you're talking about. They're coming in.
I had a very exciting, interesting guest tonight, Shane Gadsden. Former NBA player. He calls himself a journeyman because he played with like three different teams in NBA, but he's a great, great instructor, man. A guy, I've seen him firsthand work with some kids, man, and when I saw him, I was like, man, he reminded me so much of me in the baseball side that he does on the basketball side. So, when you look at that, you say to yourself, you know, we look at folks, and we walk next to folk. We say, hey, good night, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be. But we don't know the real them. And now you look at some of the sports, and some of them you recognize, they would say, like, maybe 5 years later or 10 years later, that they had a should I call it a disease? Is this considered a disease? Mental health? Guys, you would not believe that's what they were going through in their career. You know, it's really weird. You tell me about it. Tell me what you think.
No, but so before I give you the Caribbean update, I think you guys raised in listening to your conversation both with Ryan earlier and now with Mr. Gadsden. I was thinking how some people take for granted things that they have, and how others, you know, until you get exposed to it, you don't realize that you didn't have it. So going back to just listening to you to exchange your experiences and the fact that you had access to this professional coach and this professional structure, right? A system, a structure, all of the support and the parents, you know, being a parent of two college athletes myself, how important it is for young athletes to have that support structure, to have the professionalism around them. And then you still wonder, how do they still make it through or still have some challenges mentally? And there are a number of things, I believe, that can play a role there. But imagine a youngster that doesn't have any of that, right? That a youngster who's just pure implicit drive and wants to be involved and engaged, and that student or that athlete doesn't have a support structure. So whether it is someone to drive them to a distance training, and in the U.S. it's even bigger distances. So imagine a young kid, let's say, from the inner city who does not have access to transportation. Imagine a youngster who doesn't have access to cost. Now, in the U.S., you guys, you mentioned your travel ball, and there's a price there, right? There's a price tag there. And every time I hear that conversation, I think about, what about the youngsters who can't afford it, right? How do they get access and still have those opportunities? And then you think of all these other things, and mental health, yes, because when I say mental well-being, I prefer that word, that to say that there's so many things that go into making us, you know, just decently healthy as human beings. Imagine as a young athlete, and then imagine being a young athlete that does not have access to any of these things or the support system that, you know, a lot of other children have access to, and what that does to a young athlete. So that's what I would thought as you guys were talking.
So you, I'm not saying you were saying that, but you think it's more, mm-hmm. it would be more pleasant with people that doesn't have the means, it bothers them more mentally, you think?
Well, when you were speaking, I was trying to put myself in that shoe as a person living on the island compared to what I'm exposed to later as me personally as a trainer. But then also thinking, I try to make comparisons with your childhood and what you've shared so far, and then your opportunities to leave, and then compare that to children in the United States, for example, who would grow up. And I think your last guest said something in terms of, I don't know if he used the word privilege, but he talked a little bit about this sense of commitment that seems to be lacking. He said they were lacking grit, but, you know, even though they had access to better coaching, you know, why is this youngster like this? And I think it's a combination of things. So number one, your circumstances, I believe, plays a very important role there. It could teach you, it could make you or break you. But there's also, even after you've had the person, let's say all things being equal, how were you raised? What environment were you raised in? What are the values of your, not just your home, but of your community? And how that helps to build your character, but also your mental well-being? Because I think they all make a difference. And each athlete, I'm sure, has a different story. But when you think of environment, when you think of a support network, how much more helpful that is to a young athlete as opposed to a youngster who doesn't have that.
I think one of the things that Shane and I was talking about when he said privilege is, like, a lot of people, young players, have that in front of them. They have that right. Those trained developers in front of them, but they're not putting that 100%. Because what it is that, like I said, like he was saying, and we both said, a guy go up and put a dunk and they put it on Facebook and the social media and everybody rah, rah, rah. But he don't want to go on defense. He don't want somebody else to be post him on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? But instead of worrying about that, you should worry about playing the offense and the defense, because that's growth stage. That's growing. Not the fast
right.
way of look good on social media, you know. But it boils down to, even the parents who have the money to pay and the parents who don't have the money to pay, you still have to have that same mental development of the game. Because like I was saying, I never had any professional training growing up. Never. you know. But I still got signed. And the same with Shane. Shane said he never played until he was 10 years old.
You have to remember what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of classroom, because every time, you know, I bring everything back to education, right? So I'm thinking of what motivates youngsters. You have implicit motivation, and you also have explicit motivation, right? So a youngster, for example, who's, you know, has drive and is allowed to express himself, et cetera, he has a different kind of motivation. But what about that youngster who really wants to, but he doesn't have he hadn't had a breakfast before coming to your classroom, for example? As much as he wants to, as much as he has the drive, if he's hungry, he has a different level of
I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
Right. So that's what I was thinking about. When you think of it in the context of, you know, what sort of support. When I was in Puerto Rico doing my doctorate, I remember I couldn't understand why on a Thursday morning, for example, at 10 o'clock in the morning, there were so many parents sitting in the stands watching their kids play any sport, and this was during the school sports that my kids were participating, and I could never understand that. And then I went back to the office one day, and I was like, how do you get parents to come out here in the middle of the week, in the middle of the morning? But there's a system that is in place in Puerto Rico where the parents get certain incentives. I don't know to what extent it is connected to tax, but I do know it has something to do with incentive at work, and that the job would give them time off with pay as part of the process. So what it does for youngsters, it creates an environment where the entire community is supporting this youngster to be good and to be his best. The parents are there in the stand. The schools are part of the process. The government is involved, or the businesses are involved. And all of this is around this athlete. And this was not any, like, major professional sport. But by the time of the first academic year, I could see the difference in the development of my children just through school sports, because there was more to it than show up and you have the money or not.
I think the development is not that the parents are there every day. Development is the coaching that they had.
That too was a factor, because coaches were encouraged to be. And then again, that's what you have, you know, in some, here in St. Martin, you have school PE teachers. But in Puerto Rico and in the U.S., I'm sure, I don't know to what extent you get a professional coach during the week at school, but also at the end, that your extracurricular training in Puerto Rico was different than here, right? So at the end of the regular academic day, my kids had access to professional coaches or teachers who were trained in that sport.
You don't have to be a professional athlete to be a professional coach. You know,
yeah.
It would be great if you get guys who've been in the trenches and know the game back and forth and play every level from the low level to high level. But what happened is that
I wasn't thinking of the athletes. I was thinking of the coaches being professionals in the sense of they were specific in the sport that my kids were involved with, right? So it wasn't your regular PE teacher like mostly what we have here, right? It was a coach who was familiar with basketball or with volleyball, or like really trained in the sport to be able to give that extra. And I think that's important as well for youngsters.
So you tell me, what do you think that the twist is, like, say for instance, St. Martin, why is it that you think that, what's the lacking point of parts that's not allowing them to get to that level in the Caribbean period? Because if you really have to rank in the Caribbean, like say for instance, rank from 1 to 20, I would put Jamaica, Trinidad, St. Vincent, Guyana. Even though Guyana is like, you know, up there, not really Caribbean, but it's Caribbean. So you got Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad, and Tobago. There would be 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I'm not even thinking that. I'm thinking more Cuba, Puerto Rico, you know, Dominican Republic, and these others as well.
If you stretch a sport, not just one sport, if you stretch all sports,
right.
I personally think Jamaica would be Because if you put basketball, Jamaica will go almost in Puerto Rico, beat Puerto Rico. They go anywhere and beat them. They go track and field.
I got
they go
that.
All with,
so where do you put the Dominican Republic in that conversation?
Dominican Republic will be ranked maybe 4 or 5. I'm talking because Dominican Republic is great in baseball, okay in basketball, okay in volleyball.
Right.
Jamaica,
and how is Jamaica with baseball now and –
Jamaica wouldn't be a. I'm talking sports,
right.
Island sports. If you're going to break it down baseball wise, you're going to say Dominican Republic, Cuba, Puerto Rico.
There you go.
And then you fall down some more. You'll fall down.
Right.
I don't know who else would be the guy. And if you really put it down, like say for instance when baseball was played back where I was playing. Saint-Mont would have been top 8. They would have been top 8 in baseball.
Maybe, yes.
But I'm talking overall sport.
So, because I know also that you're on a time and I'm watching the clock, I want to say this because I know we would never have enough to discuss Saint-Martin on your program. You know that, right? But what I would say is that, and it's a weakness. It could be overall, but like I say, different sports, different island, a different period. But in terms of consistency, I think some of those islands that you've just mentioned, consistency for a prolonged period. But part of our challenges in these smaller islands has to do with consistency structure, number one, a good structure that lives on regardless of who's there at the time, but also consistency. And consistency has to do with policies for funding, policies of how do you select coaches and how do you, you know, those things. And then the ultimate thing is, like, what do you want on the national level for your sports development? You know, do you want to get, like, gold medals in every sport, or are you just interested in, like, focusing on 2 or 3 sports where you know your country will always bring in gold medals at the Olympics or whatever? So it's all of that. I think it's a combination of all. Huh?
I interject something on that. It's all great. If your interest is in the athletes, but if we want to talk about St. Martin, the interest is in the community, is in the leaders of the organizations who have no interest in athletes.
But if you're thinking on a national level as a country, you're not necessarily thinking of individual athletes, right?
But you said we're going to talk about St. Martin. I'm giving you what St. Martin is.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you're asking what do I think is missing, and I'm thinking – if you're thinking of it on the level of a national development, your interest is certainly not in the individual. Your interest is on the national level of what does it do for the country and what are the structures and policies and stuff that you'll put in place to give the return on the investment that the country is making, for example. Because, again, we've seen recently, I think, St. Lucia, and I want to talk a little bit about St. Lucia, about something, because St. Lucia is really doing some really great things now. And just, I think it was last week or the week before at the, I can't remember what the games were per se, but that they were able to bring home the gold medal and what it looked like on the street. So they had like a national parade for this one athlete, right? That, and it doesn't look like a lot, but it's a gold medal for a particular sport for the country. And what does that do for national pride? And what does that do to stimulate other St. Lucian athletes to even go further? So you see that's happening. St. Lucia right now is a buzz in a lot of areas of development. And one of the things that I want to mention here before, you know, we close, I just want to throw that in there. I told you, your audience earlier, that we're having the 50th anniversary of the Caribbean Studies Association anniversary conference in St. Lucia in June. And already, and there's a cricket tournament that will be taking place at around the same thing. And just this week, and to be confirmed tomorrow at the what is it called? It is called the third session of the Permanent Forum on People of African Descent that is being held in Geneva, Switzerland. Tomorrow, St. Lucian Ambassador Dr. June Sumer is going to assume the presidency of the Permanent Forum for People of African Descent. And that's a big thing. The whole Caribbean, people across the diaspora are in Geneva for this forum, and the Caribbean has sent a very strong contingent out there as well. And so when you think of sports, that I can't remember the name of the athlete, so you'll have to let me look her up eventually, but she's just returned with a medal for St. Lucia. There's this conference, there's this cricket tournament, and now on top of that, their ambassador is taking on the presidency of the international forum, the permanent forum for people of African descent. That's a big thing. And St. Lucia is a little island in the Caribbean, right, when we think of it, when we think of how sports is evolving there on different levels, the volleyball, the Caribbean championships, right, the OECS games, as well as, you know, the Caribbean games. And so you have different islands that sometimes in a particular sport, they outrank everyone. And you mentioned track and field in Jamaica.
Huh? Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this. What about netball? Why is netball that much, not much more, as a sport in the Caribbean Islands?
It depends on the island. I used to call it a sissy sport when I was a teenager because I was like, there's no way you can get me play a ball because I like basketball more than I like get netball. As a teenager, I was in love with basketball, and I thought netball, if you can't bounce the ball, what's the point? But it's, again, it's coming back now in a place like St. Martin, because remember, it's a British sport, right? So, again, this is why colonialism becomes so cardinal to every discussion that we have in the Caribbean, depending on who your colonizer was and what their national sports were. So you'll see football / soccer, a bigger sport in the French territories and in the Dutch territories, the Dutch colonized territories, and a sport like cricket and netball would be bigger in a space where it was colonized by the British. So netball is taking shape, it's growing here in St. Martin, but it goes and come, and oftentimes the people that are involved would have been people who practiced it maybe back in their home country that was once a British colony, for example, right? Eventually, in cricket, you will get another generation of St. Martiners that will now take it up. This next generation will play it as their first time, yes?
I found it strange as well that, you know, me growing up in St. Martin, baseball was like the major primary sport. And after a while, it become cricket. You know, everybody, everywhere.
Again, immigration. Immigration, because even before you were growing up, cricket used to be a sport in St. Martin way early, right? You would have people who would tell you about cricket as a sport in the 40s and the 50s as a sport. But that would have been sport in all the English-speaking territories. And now St. Martin being colonized by the Dutch and the French, but the people being English-speaking people would have had that, right, with that influx of immigrants. And then when the drive was to move to Curaçao and Aruba in the 60s and late 50s, early 60s, and then when we were growing up, it's the 70s, you're bringing back also the love for baseball from those islands, right?
Baseball came to St. Martin when the moms and the pops had to leave St. Martin and other islands and go to Dominican,
right,
and go to Cuba, and they brought
the game
back.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, immigration, right? So the parents are also coming back with the custom from, indeed, the Dominican Republic, Curaçao, Aruba, et cetera. So when we are growing up in the 70s and in the 80s, early 80s, it was the big sport. But then you also have that return of St. Martiners from the 60s and the 70s that are coming home, and now their children, and they're exposing their children to it. Now, cricket now, with the bigger migration of laborers from the English-speaking territory, it has now been, it's now again the big sport, right, in some areas. But basketball is still, I would say, the bigger practicing among young men. And I can't say the same for women, but when you look at the combination, where the numbers, again, the influence of the American television, the NBA, makes a difference for young men wanting to get involved in basketball. So as someone has said to me, one of the reasons why volleyball, for example, which is my sport, that it didn't touch on here is that there was no NBA, for example, or for volleyball. But now that you have the professional volleyball league in the United States, that may become a factor in the years to come, just like how the WNBA became a factor for attracting young women into basketball. So, again, it's what children see and what they can aspire to. And access, you know, how do you see youngsters have access?
It's great for them to see it in NBA and to see it on the TV and baseball and NBA and college. But you have to be able to bring people that can actually put the product on the court or on the field or wherever it is. If you don't have the means or the interest in bringing people in any island and bring them in to actually show your kids the right and proper way, because you could – I was telling Shane today, and we both agreed. All practice is not great practice. You know, you could practice the wrong way all your life, and that's it. You know, so you have to bring people in to change the narrative
of
what you're doing.
But think of your childhood.
You always miss.
But Rachel, think of your childhood and think of young children in general, because they're not going to change the way young children behave. They will be attracted to what they are attracted to. So I agree with you. To get them at a different level, you need to bring in the right people. But why is a particular sport attractive to young people, even if there are no coaches around to train them? Like you said, you guys would go to the field on your own and train on your own without any coaches, right? It's what is the draw to young people. And they are looking at things like the NBA and when the World Cup becomes a big deal, all the kids are involved. But if you see what's happening on St. Martin now with football or with what you call soccer, and how the organization is doing exactly what you're saying, bringing in more professionals, trainers to work with their trainers and with the young athletes, but also these opportunities that are opening for them in the region. So what if FIFA is doing in the region,
we also have
where the kids
real,
can travel and play.
We have to be realistic in the island of St. Martin. We have to be realistic. The reason why they're bringing professional soccer coaches in is because of who they're bringing professional soccer coaches in. Now, with the other generation of kids that they have, they're not even bringing any professional to them. They're bringing in professional for the soccer because who's playing the game? I mean, reality is reality.
That's true.
We can't be
that's
sports.
True, but
no,
you
no,
there are
not
a lot
that
of tournaments.
That is it.
But there are a lot of tournaments in the region for football. So you can travel to Anguilla to play in a tournament. You can leave and go to St. Bart's. You can go to
you're gonna tell me that in the day there wasn't a lot of baseball, there wasn't a lot of
no,
anything.
I'm saying now because we're talking about now in terms of
I'm giving you the now and the then. We can't just evaluate and trying to separate why.
No, you were asking
people,
me what was missing. So I want to go back to that question about what do I think needs to be done. Some of
I got one minute. I got one. I'll
yeah,
give
yeah,
you a minute.
I'm gonna let you go. But yeah, so I just want to say it's a combination of factors. But how important it is to have those opportunities where kids can, you know, practice, go off island and play against other children in the region in some of these tournaments. You know, they're not going to be making it to like a lot of these baseball tournaments unless they're nearby and they're easily accessible, you know. And then how many people is your team made up of also is a factor.
I got you. Hey, thanks for coming. I appreciate you. We're going to do
this
again. You know, I'm always going to give you a hard time.
We pray for Haiti. Don't forget that.
See you next week. See you next week. Dixon.
All right.
My pal Dixon, I think his grandmother well. She's a little under the weather. So that's why he couldn't make it out today. My partner, my co-host, Tony Holton, had some business he had to take care of. And I prefer him doing that than to be on the radio because I got this holding up. And I know he'll be here next week. We're going to have a call. Shane Gadsden, thank you so much for coming on. Ty Washington, Ryan Washington, man, thank you guys for coming on. It was a great show, great program tonight. We want to do this again. Our show will be on Amazon Music. in about a day or so. Go to Amazon Music for CRS Radio Sports Chat. Pick it up. Look for it again. Thanks for listening to CRS Radio Sports Chat and more. Love the program. Some more. Thank you. See you next week, same time, 8 to 9:30.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with Sports, Chat, and More.